son was very man and very God, as we pass through the verses here, and to see that the Creator, who is God, served the creatures, his creation, and to see, as we have mentioned in Hebrews chapter 2, he partook of flesh and blood. There was some identification with us. He was, though we know he was without sin. So it's a real stoop that the Lord Jesus Christ made. God, who is spirit, became man, seen, heard, known, became a servant, and humbled himself and became obedient unto death. It's real mind-boggling to some, even to see the how God would show himself towards man. The story is told of some ants and this man who was so, this one who was so great above them. How can one come down and identify with them? It's being in the same form as they would be. But that was just a glimpse, of illustration of what took place between God and man. And so it's wonderful to see how his love has been demonstrated and how he gave himself, and to see the victory that has been accomplished by this one, so that we, his creation, can be brought even to him in a day to come.
If I could make just a very quick point by way of application, we see in verse 4 and 5, the exhortations given in verse 4 and 5 kind of are expounded on in the following verses, and they're and it's brought out what that truly means, having this mind, putting others' interests before yours. So those are kind of expounded on. And so what we notice is that Christ's that mind of Christ, his attitude in putting others' interests before himself, that was an active attitude. He did things to do that. It wasn't something, it wasn't a thought, it wasn't, you know, when we go on and we see that he did not count equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. It was active. There was something to do, right? And so when we're given that exhortation in verse 4 and 5, having this mind among ourselves, as well as looking not to the interests of ourselves, but to others, we need to realize that it's not just some thought thing. It's something that also needs to be employed. It's something that we need to take on daily it's something that we need to employ. And but not only looking at the fact that it's something that we have to do, but whenever, and it seems that this is a kind of a trend, whenever Paul or a writer gives an imperative that we have to do, it's followed up by an objective truth. So we see here. Have this mind among yourselves. So we're encouraged to have this mind, having this attitude, having this, this thought. But not only that, not only to do it, but it's already ours, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So whenever we receive an imperative, we receive the objective truth that it, you know, and it's already ours. And we kind of see that as well. The pattern. Just another example. When we read on in Philippians 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is something that is a responsibility of ours. So we're given that imperative, but then we read afterwards, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And we see that pattern. So although we're given that exhortation, we also need to remind ourselves that it's not just something we're going to do, but it's something that's already a part of our identity because of what Christ has done for us. And it's something that we also have to realize as part of what he has already done.
I would say he gives the exhortation and also gives the enablement to follow through with the exhortation. But as we continue to see if we can wrap to get a little further, three things we see here. Took upon him the form of a servant, and each time there's a qualification, Because there is not only the slave position, but the expression of that position. But he is slave, servant to God. Behold, my servant. He is never our servant. He serves us. He may serve us, but he is not our slave. The Lord Jesus is the servant, slave of Jehovah, of God the Father. But he is not my slave. We need to be very respectful and appreciative of this. Secondly, the likeness of man means he was everything that a man was, altogether, totally, with just a simple but very profound and important difference. He had no sinful nature in him. But he was altogether, in every other aspect, totally man, without sin. So it says, in the likeness, which means he was man, he was a man, but there was something different about him. What was different? No sin, no activity of sin in any way. And we know the three apostles give the testament to that. We're not going to develop that. Thirdly, being found in fashion as a man. As I said, each of these is qualified. Now, fashion as a man, the emphasis is in his display and development. As you saw him as a babe, all that a babe normally goes through, the development. As you see him as a youngster, as a teenager, and so on, all of the normal experiences of manhood, visibly, he possessed and experienced and manifested. So don't let us think that in that manhood there was anything abnormal about the normal experiences of the Lord Jesus. Let us appreciate this, because this is a point made in Hebrews 2. At the end of the verses there, and their point made in Hebrews 4 at the end of those verses there.
In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 51 and 52, helps us with this progression.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Wonderful progression as he continued his life here on earth as a man. As a man. But he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this is where Exodus chapter 21 comes in. Also Isaiah chapter 42, as where the psalm was saying, it, he is God's servant, mine elect, whom I've chosen. He was qualified, he qualified for the job, if I should say that, or for the position. And he executed it to the glory of God. And God was so pleased that God answered to this humiliation. To become a man, boy, there might be some glory. But a servant, and obedient, and to the cross, one of the worst deaths a man could die. And this is God himself. How men handled him. Handled God. Look at the trial. His God was on trial. And yet still, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before a shearer is dumb. He opened not his mouth. Would not even defend himself. But this mind that was in Christ is the mind, God says, to be in us. I want my rights. You got none. That's the mind that is coming.